Hello, America. Today is June 12, 2015. You're listening to Crisis and Concern. I hope you've had a good week, and I trust that you find yourself prepared for the weekend that's coming. I trust that you're prayerfully supporting your pastor as he is getting ready to preach on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And just continue to grow in your prayer life and in your relationship with the Lord, because Crisis and Concern is a program about exactly that, about the crisis and concern that face America and the world today, and how we're going to address it as Christians. Maybe you're listening and you're not a Christian, or you're not sure you're a Christian. Well, let me go ahead and say up front, this broadcast addresses circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in today from a biblical world view. So with that said, let's take a quick look at some of the headlines. Maybe they're in the mainstream media, maybe they're not, but nonetheless, there are things in the world today that are taking place we need to be aware of. We need to know what's going on, and we need to discuss them. We need to set church opinions out there, not sugarcoat them. We need to be polite, we need to be loving, we need to be compassionate, but this is not a time to be sugarcoating the sourness of sin. It's just not time. We need to be calling sin, sin. We need to be approaching people, and we need to be dealing with them in such a way that they see the love of Jesus Christ and they desire Him. Remember, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And He meant that. He meant that He would draw all men and women to Him if He be lifted up. That's something the church needs to grasp. We need a fresh look at lifting up Jesus today in our churches. We seem to be traveling down the road of lifting up politicians. I'm not saying pastors should not endorse their politicians. If someone has a godly platform, then by all means, support that person. If they have an ungodly platform, preach the ungodliness that comes with that platform. But we need to not lift them up and place them upon a pedestal that belongs to Jesus Christ, because it is He and only He that can redeem us of our sin. Well, with that said, let's take a quick look at our first topic. U.S. school teachers bow to Allah and celebrate Islam. About 50 teachers and administrators in a Pennsylvania school district recently took a training session on Islam and the Arabic culture. During this all-day in-service, which was, by the way, paid for at taxpayer expense, it was taught how to worship and how to lead staff and how to lead others in Islam practices and in Islamic worship. Now, given a culture where true freedom in religion was allowed in America, I would say, okay. Even though I disagree with Islam, even though there is no redemption of sin in Islam, even though there is no eternal security in Islam, I would still say okay in freedom of religion if Christianity had not been stifled for the last four decades. It is not allowed to have Bibles in school. Our Gideons cannot distribute Bibles in the public schools. Speaking of which, let me give a quick plug to the Gideons. I respect these folks deeply. I remember in elementary school, and even in the early years of middle school, receiving Gideon Bibles, Gideon New Testaments. I still have some of those New Testaments, and they mean a lot to me. A lot of memories are attached to them. But the radicals in this country, the ungodly, sinful, wicked, irreligious, irresponsible radicals, even though they may have been a minority, they still had a voice that impressed the Supreme Court, and they said, no more Bibles. We can't do that. If God is not allowed in our public schools through the New Testament and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, then I will not stand by silently and allow the sinfulness of Islam to be brought into the public school system without lifting up a voice against it. It is wrong. I will say it again, it is wrong. Do not look at me or approach me with this freedom of religion argument and give it in a lopsided view when all you're intending to do is silence Christianity and silence the gospel. I will not stand quiet for it. I will not do it. It is an abomination to do that to God. It is an abomination to put a false religion in the place of God. It is foolishness to teach a false religion to our educators and expect them to promote it in the classroom. It is wrong. Our next item of discussion. Pastors pledge civil disobedience if the Supreme Court redefines marriage. This is a slippery slope, to say the least. We all know, every one of us that are blood-bought children of God, that are saved by grace through faith, know that same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships are wrong. We know that the transgender movement and all of the changing of sexes and all of that, we know it is wrong. And there's no further discussion about that. The Word of God is the Word of God. That does not mean that the Supreme Court will lead our nation down a path of following godly teaching and biblical teaching. They may lead us down a path of following disobedience to God. They may be teaching our nation to be disobedient and teaching it from the level of government. In response to this possibility, or maybe I should say probability, a number of pastors and lay leaders across America have signed a petition pledging civil disobedience if a Supreme Court decision redefining marriage to include same-sex couples infringes upon religious freedom. Now, when I'm reading this, and I'm thinking when I'm reading religious freedom, I'm thinking if the Supreme Court weighs in and tries to influence pastors to perform same-sex ceremonies, then these pastors and these lay leaders are saying we will refuse and we will object to that. A quote that is listed in the article I'm referencing says, experience and history have shown us that if the government redefines marriage to grant a legal equivalency to same-sex couples, that same government will then enforce such an action with the police power of the state. This will bring about an inevitable collision with religious freedom and conscious rights. The precedent established will leave no room for any limitation on what can constitute such a redefined notion of marriage or human sexuality. We cannot and will not allow this to occur on our watch, they say. I can say this without knowing the details of the intent. I support them based upon what I know. I have already told the congregation I pastor. I do not care what the Supreme Court says, or the state courts, or anyone else. I absolutely, positively, under no circumstances, will participate in same-sex marriage. It will not happen. I will not do it. Now, whether that is looked at as a social ill, whether it is looked at as a constitutional violation, whether it is looked at as a civil disobedience, I really don't know, and I really don't care. Because in this instance, the government is wrong. When the government is wrong and when the government stands in violation of the Word of God, then there is nothing to do but stand on the Word of God. So pastors, let me urge you, as you look at this and as you consider civil disobedience against the Supreme Court, make certain that you are standing firmly and solidly on the Word of God. Do not allow personal opinion and do not allow emotion to come into play. If so, you will be committing sin. I will say that again, pastors. Do not allow yourselves to be drawn into committing sin based upon personal opinion and emotion. Make sure your decisions are firmly grounded in the Word of God. That's the only way God is going to bless these efforts. That's the only way God is going to lift up the work that we're doing and bless it and see revival and renewal and awakening come to America. I think we may have time for at least one more item. We are seeing a report that the current president of Obama's administration, President Obama's administration, is considering, and I'm seeing will soon require, faith-based charitable groups that receive federal grants to hire homosexuals and transsexuals. According to what I'm reading, the disturbing revelation comes straight from published reports from the Center for Family and Human Rights. Let's go back to last summer. President Obama linked an executive order requiring federal contractors to provide what Congress refused to pass, namely civil rights status for sexual behavior or subjective gender identity. Now, today, a year later, President Obama is adding the sexual orientation and gender identity mandate to humanitarian groups that receive federal grants as well. This is one issue I have with a faith-based group palling around and getting into partnership with the federal government. To get money, to get resources to operate on, we compromise our values, we compromise our integrity, we put at risk our testimony because we fall under the influence of immoral, irrational, and even ungodly practices and behaviors from the government. And I'm not saying this exclusively to target the Obama administration. I'm saying it to any state, local, federal government that subsidizes faith-based groups. Be careful. Be careful, faith-based groups, what you're getting yourself into, because it is very, very probable that the snake that you partner with today is going to bite you tomorrow. Remember, the Apostle Paul told us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a reason for that, because we as born-again Christians, as the church, we relate to things much differently than the world does. We see things differently. We handle them and behave differently. The God and Lord Jesus Christ that we serve and that we follow expects certain things from us. Now, rightfully, we have to have operating capital. There are things out there. But in all honesty, look to the churches, look to missionary movements, look to those things of doing stuff. Hey, it may even mean that you may have to operate bivocationally. I know there's a lot of folks that don't like that idea today, but I have a feeling as the government gets more and more involved with criminalizing Christianity, with turning us into the bad guys of today's society, you're going to see more and more of the social Christians, the churchgoers, if you will, move away and take their money with them. And as that happens, you're going to see churches get into financial troubles, and you're going to see pastors be forced to do one of two things. They're going to be forced into bivocational service, or they're going to be forced into leaving the pastorate. And as a God-called pastor and preacher, I can't see myself leaving the pastorate over money. I can see myself coming to my deacons and saying, "Deacons, you're going to have to be deacons now, and you're going to have to serve the church, and you're going to have to lead from the position that God has placed you in, because I'm going to have to take a job and take care of my family." I really think this is a growing period for the church. A growing period for the church to really find itself, and a growing period for the church to really define who they are and where they stand. And that includes the pastors that are standing in the pulpits. Alright, let's take a look at one more real quickly. Well, I don't know. As I take a look at my time, I see that we have passed the 15-minute mark, and that means I need to be closing down in order to get this processed and broadcast. That's about all the time that I allot for a crisis and concern broadcast. Folks listening, let me encourage you, share our broadcast with others. I am not a nationally recognized speaker. I do not have a syndicated television program. I have not written multitudes of books. I am simply a preacher from the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, trying to encourage the church, trying to strengthen the church, trying to draw those that are truly saved back into service of the church, and at the same time promoting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Friend, if you're listening and you're not saved, let me encourage you to find yourself a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing pastor. Let him tell you about Jesus. Let him open his Bible and let him show you. Let that child of God, maybe it's a deacon, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a pastor, whatever, whomever, find someone and ask them questions, and don't stop until you get answers, biblical answers shown to you from the Word of God. It is just that important. Your soul depends upon it. And actually, the way the world is turning today and America is turning today, your sanity may depend upon it. There are a lot of people that are really confused today. So confused, they are turning and walking away from God. And they're walking to false gods and false religion and false doctrine and false teaching, because it offers them just a few minutes of a feel-good type atmosphere. Jesus Christ provides joy, unspeakable joy. Let me show you Jesus. Share this broadcast with friends and family around your neighborhood, around the country, around the world. My prayer is that Jesus Christ blesses you immensely in the week to come. I trust that you'll be in church Sunday, lifting up the name of Jesus. Until our next broadcast, may God bless you, is my prayer.